Well, one of my favorite stories was about Pope John Paul II when he came to a visit the United States back in the early 80s. He flew into New York City and the chauffeur picked him up at the New York City airport to take him to St. Patrick's Cathedral. And on the way, the Pope was lamenting that ever since he had become Pope, nobody would let him drive. He used to love to drive, but he was lamenting to the fact that now he always gets driven by chauffeurs. So he asked the chauffeur, "Would you do me the favor? Can we pull over? Can we switch places? Let me drive and you sit in the back seat." Well, of course, you have to obey the Pope. And so they pulled over, the chauffeur got in the back seat, John Paul got into the front driver's seat and began on his way. And of course, the Pope had a lead foot and he got pulled over for speeding by a New York City cop. The cop walked up to the limousine, the Pope buzzed down the window, and the police officer couldn't believe it. There was Pope John Paul II in the front, and he looked into the back and he saw this fella sitting in the back seat. He says, "Well, give me a minute." So he got on the phone and he called his sergeant and says, "Sarge, I just made a terrible mistake. I pulled over someone of tremendous importance." The sergeant says, "Well, who was it?" "The mayor." And the officer said, "No, somebody way more important than that." And the sergeant says, "Well, was it the governor?" And the cop said, "No, somebody bigger than that." "Well, don't tell me you pulled over the president of the United States." And the cop said, "No, even somebody bigger than that." And the sergeant says, "Well, who was it?" And the cop said, "Well, I don't know his name, but he's got the Pope as his chauffeur." So it is possible not to recognize someone in your very presence. And that's what happened to the apostles today. The disciples on the way to Emmaus did not recognize that it was the Lord that walked with them for those 7 miles from Jerusalem to Emmaus. Take a look at today's gospel, one of the great gospels in all of Scripture, which is called the Road to Emmaus. And this event occurred on the very night of the resurrection, after Jesus had risen from the dead that morning. It says that night two disciples left Jerusalem to walk the 7 miles west to Emmaus. Now, we know one of the names of the disciples was Cleopas, the other we do not know his name. They were not among the 12 apostles. They were other disciples that the Lord had, other followers. And we ask the question first, though, why were they leaving Jerusalem? Jerusalem was the place to be. That's where the apostolic church was. That's where the 11 apostles were. Why were they going in the wrong direction? Why were they leaving Jerusalem? It seems the reason is because their hopes were dashed. They had expected Jesus to usher in a new earthly kingdom, a political kingdom, to be a great prophet and Messiah. And now he was crucified. He had died on the cross. And now it seems that their hopes were dashed. That's why this story is so important, because their broken hearts would be healed in the breaking of the bread. Their sorrow would be turned to happiness. Their sadness would be turned to joy. Their despair would be turned to hope. What they thought was disillusionment and failure would be turned to victory and triumph in just a few moments. So they were going in the wrong direction. They were leaving the church. They were leaving the other apostles and going back to Emmaus, 7 miles west. And it was late in the afternoon. The sun was setting. The sun was shining in their eyes. And all of a sudden, a man walks up alongside of them. He obviously was also coming from Jerusalem. And these two disciples were in a very animated discussion about all the things that had happened. And the Lord says, "What are you two discussing?" Well, it says they stopped and they were very sad. And they said, "Are you the only person in Jerusalem who does not know everything that took place?" Because remember, the Lord had come into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday with tens of thousands of people shouting Hosanna to the highest, and then he was arrested and betrayed, and he was then asked for the death sentence and then crucified, and now the tomb was empty. And so the Lord's response to this question, are you the only visitor who does not know what happened, shows that the Lord had a great sense of humor. He says, what things? What sort of things? What a great response. He wants to see what's in their hearts and minds about all these events that took place. So they say, well, the things that happened to Jesus of Nazarene, we thought he was a great prophet, that he was going to redeem Israel and set us free from Roman occupation. All these things we expected. And now there's a big mystery because it's the third day now. The tomb is empty. The women said that they've seen a vision of angels, that he's risen from the dead. The other apostles went and saw that the tomb was empty. So they're confused. They don't believe or understand the resurrection. And so what does the Lord say? Well, how foolish you are, how slow you are to believe. And he says, it was necessary that the Messiah had to suffer. See, this was part of the Father's plan, that Jesus would be the suffering servant, that he would pay the price and not only redeem Israel, but he would redeem the whole world. And it wasn't going to be a political or earthly kingdom that he set up, but he was going to set us free from the slavery of sin. He was going to redeem us from sin and open the gates of heaven. That was the great work of Christ. And then it says, then Jesus began with Moses and went through the entire Old Testament and explained to them, interpreting for them everything that referred to him in the scriptures. Must have been the most magnificent homily ever given. It took a couple hours. What did Jesus talk about during that time? Well, he probably started in Genesis, how he would be the seed of the woman that would crush the head of the serpent, the devil. And then he would go to Isaiah chapter 7, that a virgin would conceive and give birth to a child who would be Emmanuel, God with us. And then in Isaiah 53, Jesus would have explained that he was the suffering servant, that he would be rejected, be like a lamb led to the slaughter, that he would die for the sins of his people. He would explain to them that he was the stone rejected by the builders that has become the cornerstone of the new foundation, that he was that bronze serpent that Moses lifted up in the desert, and that Jesus was lifted up on the cross to set us free from the poison of sin. He would explain the prophet Micah that the Messiah had to be born in Bethlehem and raised in Nazareth. He would have gone through the entire Old Testament, the Passover lamb, that Jesus was the Lamb of God who came to take away the sins of the world, and that at the crucifixion, he fulfilled Psalm 22, and they cast lots for his clothing, that his heart was pierced with a sword. So Jesus would have given this incredible sermon, which would have lasted many hours, because now it is getting dark. They've reached Emmaus, and the Lord pretends he's going to continue walking. And of course, it'd be dangerous for a traveler to walk by himself, and so out of hospitality and kindness, they say, stay with us, Lord, stay with us. And so they invited Jesus in. This is very important because the Lord does not force himself upon us. He respects our free will. We have to invite Jesus in. We have to say, come into my life, come into my heart, come into my soul. The Lord is so respectful. He will not force himself upon us. We have to invite him in and say, stay with us, Lord. Stay with us. So they have a meal. Jesus takes the bread and he blesses it and he breaks it and he gives it to them. Well, these disciples had not been at the Last Supper, but they had been at the multiplication of the loaves, where Jesus had taken bread, said the blessing, and then broke it and distributed it to them. And immediately, their eyes were open, and Jesus allowed himself to be recognized, that he truly was there. But then he vanishes from their sight. And they say to each other, we knew something was different. Our hearts were burning when he explained the scriptures to us, because the Lord had opened the scriptures to them and had set their hearts on fire with love of God and how Jesus was the fulfillment of all these Old Testament prophecies. And so it says immediately, even though it was night, they got up and they walked, or probably ran, 7 miles all the way back to Jerusalem. And they burst into the upper room with the 11 disciples and were greeted by the saying, the Lord has been raised. He has appeared to St. Peter, to Simon. And then they explained what happened to them in the way to Emmaus and the breaking of the bread. So again, what a great passage, a great event of Jesus's appearance the night of his resurrection to prove that he was truly risen from the dead. And I think what we should take from this reading is that whenever we come to Mass, these same things happen, that the scriptures are unfolded to us. The first part of the Mass is the liturgy of the word, where we listen to the readings from the Old Testament, the New Testament, the Gospel, and then the homily unfolds the scriptures to us. And then after the liturgy of the word, just as Jesus had explained the scriptures to the apostles, then he breaks the bread. And that's when they recognized him. So the liturgy of the word comes first at Mass, and then the liturgy of the Eucharist. And then when we receive communion, we recognize that it is the Lord. So I hope that all of us will be renewed every time we come to Mass to really listen to the word of God, try to take something from the readings or from the homily, try to apply it to your daily life to help you get through the upcoming week. But then most importantly, to really realize and recognize the presence of Christ in the Holy Eucharist, that he comes down upon the altar, he becomes present under the appearances of bread and wine, he becomes truly there. And I hope that we will recognize the presence of Christ and not only receive him devoutly and worthily in Holy Communion, but spend time with him in Eucharistic adoration, to go to our adoration chapel across the street, Monday through Friday, 24 hours a day, 5 days a week, day and night, the Lord is there. The Lord has stayed with us, and we need to go visit him, spend time with him in Eucharistic adoration and prayer. So that's what I hope we take from the reading to Emmaus, that every time we come to Mass, we have a little Emmaus event with us, the liturgy of the word, and then the liturgy of the Eucharist, where we come to truly acknowledge that Jesus is present with us in the breaking of the bread.